أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما روي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطيت أمتي في رمضان خمس خصال لم تعطهن أمة كانت قبلهم خلوف فم الصائم عند الله أطيب من رائحة المسك وتستغفر لهم الملائكة حتى يفطروا وتصفد مردة الشياطين فلا يصلون فيه إلى ما كانوا يصلون إليه ويزين الله جنته في كل يوم فتقول يوشك عبادي الصالحون أن يلقوا عنهم المؤونة والأذى ويصيروا إليك ويغفر لهم في آخر ليلة من رمضان فقالوا يا رسول الله هي ليلة القدر قال لا ولكن العامل إنما يوفى أجره عند انقضاء عمله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, our life seems to be passing us by at a lightning pace. And it just seems that we completed a Ramadan just maybe a couple of months ago, and yet here again we are standing on the doorsteps of another Ramadan. A whole year has passed, but it flashed by so quickly, it's as if it was simply a matter of days since the last Ramadan until this Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing us with having another month of Ramadan. It is truly something that we should appreciate and something that we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And I often quote a hadith in which some sahaba, a sahabi approached the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I saw in my dream two brothers. One of the brothers, he became a Muslim, and shortly after that, he died as a martyr fighting and struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other person, he died 1 year later, but he died a natural death. But yet in my dream, I saw that the one who died a natural death 1 year later, he entered into paradise the first. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Why are you astonished by this?" And obviously we would have the same question, that a person who gets martyred, he has a huge status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his sins are forgiven. But in this situation, the Prophet ﷺ said that you should not be astonished when you see the person who died 1 year later, but died a natural death, that he's entering paradise first. Why? Because he got the opportunity to pray for one more year. He got the opportunity to make istighfar for one more year. He got the opportunity to fast one whole month of Ramadan more than his brother who died as a martyr. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us and gives us the tawfiq again and again to partake of this blessed time, this is something that we should truly be grateful for, and we should try to use this opportunity the best that we can to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the actual purpose of the month of Ramadan anyway. Many of us, we enter into Ramadan and we come out exactly the same as we were before, not understanding what the purpose of the blessed month was. Many of us assume that it's just an opportunity to diet, an opportunity to lose weight. It's an opportunity to kind of cleanse oneself, a detox, if you will. And in focusing on these minor benefits, we lose sight of the main purpose of Ramadan, which is to gain taqwa and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hear this verse all the time, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses us and says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon." O people of Iman, fasting has been written for you. The word kitaba, it means to write. So written for you, meaning when you have something serious, something that you want to write down, a memo, the memos are in the news a lot nowadays, you write it down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this fasting has been written down for you. It has been made obligatory upon you. And it's not just this ummah that was given this blessing, but other nations before you, they also had forms of fasting. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So previous nations, the Jews, the Christians, they were also obligated to fast at certain times of the year. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what the purpose of taqwa, of the fasting is. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Maybe so that you can attain taqwa, so that you could get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll mention later on the different definitions that the scholars have given of taqwa. Many people loosely translate it as the fear of Allah, but that is not a correct translation. Inshallah, I'll come back to taqwa later on in the khutbah. But prior to that, I'd like to mention a hadith for you, which mentions one of the specialties of this ummah, or some of the specialties of this ummah. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "U'tiyat ummati fi ramadana khamsa khisalin lam tu'tahunna ummatun kanat qablahum." This ummah of ours was given five things, or has been given five things, that no previous nation was given before. We just heard that previous nations, they also had the obligation to fast, but this ummah was given specifically five things which no ummah was given before. What were those five things? Firstly, خَلُوفُ فَمِ صَائِمْ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ الْمِسْكِ. The bad smell that comes from the mouth of a fasting person because of the fact that the person is dry or the stomach is empty, this is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of musk, than the smell of fragrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this smell. And of course, this does not mean that a person should not take care of his oral hygiene during the month of Ramadan, thinking that, okay, I should let my mouth smell bad because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it. No. The scholars say that this smell is due to a person being hungry and thirsty. It has nothing to do with the dental hygiene. So a person should use the miswak, clean his teeth, make sure as much as possible to try to clean his mouth. And then after that, still when the smell comes because of the dryness of the mouth and so on, this smell is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of fragrance. And this is all about love. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, or when we love something even the smell of that person, which would be normally regarded as body odor or the smell of sweat, it is pleasing to us. People that are married are probably aware of this situation, and I don't need to go into details about that. So anyway, that was the first thing that is mentioned in this hadith. The next thing that is specific for this ummah, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَتَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ حَتَّى يُفْطِرُ. The angels, they pray for this person's forgiveness until the iftar is done, until the fast is broken in the evening. The angels continue to pray for a person's forgiveness. What are the angels? The angels are a special creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are always in His worship. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are innocent of committing sins. So just imagine how powerful their istighfar is for us, how their forgiveness is beneficial for us. So all through the day, the malaika, the angels, they make istighfar for this person who is fasting. To make things easy for us, وَتُصَفَّدُ مَرَضَةُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. This is the third thing. The rebellious shayateen are imprisoned. So you'll find that many people who may be committing sins out of the month of Ramadan, they tend to stop committing those sins simply out of what they say is the respect out of the month. And the second reason is that the shayateen are imprisoned and they do not provoke a person to commit sins. So again, somebody might have a question that how come some people still commit sins? So then the answer to that question is that because many people, they have made sins their habit. And because it's now become a habit, the shaitan does not need to provoke them anymore. And because of it's a habit, they will continue to do it, even though the rebellious shayateen have been imprisoned in the month of Ramadan. And also, another answer could be that the rebellious shayateen, the most severe of the shayateen, they are the ones that are imprisoned, maradatu shayateen, and the smaller shayateen are still outside. And also we have, unfortunately, humans that have satanic influences, bad company, bad friends, bad companionship, people that will influence us in a negative way because of their habits, because maybe they're not Muslim or they are not good practicing Muslims, and they undermine the importance of the month of Ramadan. And because we are companions with them, we are friends with them, we go along with that peer pressure and we do whatever it is they say or do. So this is why some people will continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the most dangerous thing is that a person, he has a habit of committing sins and he doesn't lose that habit in the month of Ramadan. So this is a kind of a gauge for a person to measure himself where he stands in his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he cannot even stop his sins in Ramadan, then really he needs to reflect upon changing his life for the better and to become a better person and to get rid of all of these habits that have become part of his life. So that was the third thing. The rebellious shayateen are imprisoned. The hadith goes on to say, فَلَا يَصِلُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى مَا كَانُوا يَصِلُونَ إِلَيْهِ. These shayateen, they do not reach in the month of Ramadan as much as they reach outside of the month of Ramadan, meaning they cannot influence the people. The fourth thing, وَيُزَيِّنُ اللَّهُ جَنَّتَهُ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifies His paradise every single day. Now, if you have ever been in a marriage or at a wedding, how is the house decorated for the new bride that is about to come into the house? How is the decoration and how are the lights put up and the different kinds of the balloons and the silver paper and everything? It's beautified. Why? Because the new bride is coming home and she wants to be welcomed and we want to welcome her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He beautifies the paradise for each one of us because of the fact that we are fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to this paradise, يُوشِكُ عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ أَنْ يُلْقُوا عَنْهُمُ الْمَؤُونَةَ وَالْأَذَى وَيَصِيرُوا إِلَيْكَ. It is very close that my pious slaves, they are going to throw aside, cast aside the difficulties of their worldly life and come towards you. So really, this world is all about difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Indeed, we created the human being in hardship. From the very beginning of his life until the end of his life, there is hardship and difficulty and trials and tribulations and ups and downs. And this is basically what life is about. And when a person leaves this world, having been a pious slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he casts aside those trials and tribulations and he enters into the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this Jannah that my pious slaves are going to throw aside their difficulties, their hardships, their trials, their tribulations, and they're going to come towards you. And finally, the fifth thing, وَيُغْفَرُ لَهُمْ فِي آخِرِ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of the fasting people on the last night of Ramadan. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, ahiya Laylatul Qadr? Is this night Laylatul Qadr that you're referring to? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, no. That has a different reward. That has a separate reward. That has its own virtue. But, walakin al-amil, innama yuwaffa ajrahu عند انقضاء عمله. The person who's a worker, a laborer, when he finishes his work, he gets his salary, he gets his wages. And when we've completed the month of Ramadan as much, the best as we can, keeping in mind the etiquette and the rules and the regulations, and making sure that we do not contaminate our fast with sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hands us this forgiveness on the last night of Ramadan. What a beautiful gift that we are given on this last night. So we have to make sure that we are doing whatever we can to fast in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I heard a saying that has always stuck in my mind, that things which are normally halal in our lives, they become temporarily haram for us. Eating halal food, drinking something halal, and intimacy with one's wife, all of these things are halal. But temporarily, during the daytime, they become haram for us in the month of Ramadan. So when halal has become haram for us, what is your opinion on the things which are already haram? That is a question that we need to ask ourselves. The things which are already haram, what do you think is the status of those things? So we really need to make sure that we don't assume that fasting is just simply to stay hungry and thirsty. Rather, fasting is a fasting of the eyes, that we should not see what we're not supposed to see. We should have a fasting of the ears. We should not be listening to what we're not supposed to listen to. We should not be walking towards the things that we're not supposed to be walking towards. Meaning each and every part of our body should be in the subservience and submission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His obedience. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صَوْمِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. There are many people who fast, but they don't get anything out of their fast except for hunger and thirst. What does that mean? They contaminated their fast by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and committing sins during the day. So we need to make sure that we avoid these sins as much as possible and make sure that we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the intention of practicing until after the month of Ramadan. Going back to the definition of taqwa, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, التَّقْوَى هِيَ الْخَوْفُ مِنَ الْجَلِيلِ وَالْعَمَلُ بِالتَّنْزِيلِ وَالْقَنَاعَةُ بِالْقَلِيلِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ. A very beautiful summary of what taqwa is. He said that it is the fear of al-jaleel, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-jaleel is one of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَمَلُ بِالتَّنْزِيلِ, to practice what is in the tanzeel, meaning the Qur'an that has been revealed to us. وَالْقَنَاعَةُ بِالْقَلِيلِ, to be satisfied with a little, with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, to be satisfied with that and not to long for or yearn for or chase after more and more and more. And finally, وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ, to prepare oneself for the day of the journey, meaning for the journey towards the hereafter, the journey of death. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhum, after reading this verse, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, which says, O people of Iman, have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and do not die except in the state of submission. He said that التَّقْوَى أَنْ يُطَاعَ فَلَا يُعْصَى وَيُذْكَرَ فَلَا يُنْسَى وَإِنْ يُشْكَرَ فَلَا يُكْفَى. Taqwa is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be obeyed and not disobeyed. And He should be remembered and therefore not forgotten. And He should be thanked, and ingratitude should not be displayed towards Him. And the gratitude, he goes on to say, وَشُكْرُهُ يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ جَمِيعُ فِعْلِ الطَّاعَاتِ. All of the actions of obedience are included in the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَعْنَى ذِكْرِهِ فَلَا يُنْسَى ذِكْرُ الْعَبِّ بِقَلْبِهِ لِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ فِي حَرَكَاتِهِ وَسَكَنَاتِهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ فَيَمْتَثِلُهَا وَلِنَوَاهِيهِ فِي ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ فَيَجْتَنِبُهَا. And when we say the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not just to say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, this is a form of remembrance. But when we say the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, who says that to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us, to implement them in our lives. And the things that He has forbidden us, to get them out of our lives, that is the true meaning of dhikr. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His commands, and the things that He has forbidden us from doing. I've run out of time. There were other things that I wanted to discuss, but in any case, inshallah, in the coming khutbas, I will be discussing that. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Just a couple of announcements, inshallah. Firstly, you're requested to contribute at least $20 per week for the monthly costs, operational costs. We have the month of Ramadan coming up, and the costs increase substantially, the electricity and the water and so on, in this blessed month. So please try to do whatever you can to cover those costs by donating at least $20. If not 20, then 10. If not 10, then 5. But just please do put something in the box. We have a lecture after Maghrib tonight by Sheikh Karim Abu Zaid, who's visiting us from Denver, Colorado. So please try to participate. In addition to that, after Fajr tomorrow, community breakfast and a small lecture also. So please come for that. Community Bazaar is taking place from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. It's going to be in the multipurpose hall. Everyone is welcome to come. And tonight at 6 p.m., sisters are welcoming Ramadan. It's a sisters program, and they're going to have a potluck at 6 p.m. today. ICI Kids Summer Camp registration is taking place, and also the Tanzeel Academy summer program is taking place for the memorization of the Quran. And please make dua for the sick and the deceased of our community. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من صلى وصام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من قعد وقام وصل على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى الملائكة المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم آتنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار آمين يا رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.